Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a dog play. I don't believe in reincarnation, but if I did, my first slot to choose from would be one of my pets if I came back in another life. Because their pets have lived well, well fed, well loved, well taken care of. Primarily dogs, but then about 3 or 4 years ago, we had a cat adopt us. So we adopted it, but the same thing applies. I don't know about you all, but the pets we develop a relationship with. And they become part of the family. Both sides kind of make an agreement without actually speaking of it. The animal gives up part of its freedom and so forth in exchange for a family and security. We give up some of the control in our lives because when you have a pet, like having any other new member in the family, things change for you. I want you to think of that a little bit as you hear our gospel lesson for today and read through them. In fact, all our lessons. All of our lessons. Now, we have to be honest that the word dogs, and they also had cats, and we know they had cats in Egypt anyway, so we know they were exposed to them, was used in two ways in Scripture as it is probably used in our modern world. One interpretation of it is like, you dogs, which in the Old Testament was the sort of thing about the enemies of Israel being called packs of dogs that hound and harass the people. But they also knew, as we do, dogs as in the family pets, those parts of our family, our four-legged children and grandchildren, if you will, that are part of our lives every day. And it's interesting. It's interesting to me the way Jesus kind of has fun playing with that image. In a sense of a way that kind of turns the tables on the people around him and us too. Some people get upset when they hear this because they, you know, see Jesus as being very, very insensitive. Telling this woman, you're a dog, you know, and the children ought to be fed first. But I look at it differently. I see this as one of a series of stories in the New Testament in which Jesus shows a playfulness, if you will, with people who have a spark of understanding. Like the centurion, who, when Jesus says, I'll come visit your house, says, you don't need to. Foreign conquering army officer has faith. And Jesus has delight and has to play with it. The woman at the well, another story in the New Testament, where this woman had no rights to be there in the middle of the day against all customs and plans and things. She was a woman, she was a foreigner, and the disciples get all upset because Jesus is having a conversation with her. And so he has this long conversation, as if to spite them. About their prejudices and shortcomings. And in today's lesson, this woman had zero options left. First off, she was a woman, which in that culture did not afford you a lot of privilege outside of being with a man. She was a Gentile, so she was outside of the Jewish faith. And she was Syrophoenician. That is, she was a mix between two of the competing groups that existed in the area. So she didn't belong to anybody. And on top of that, if you need a fourth strike, her daughter had a demon, which in the understanding of Jesus' era meant they must have done something wrong as parents, that their children were visited with evil. But that's not the way Jesus treats her. It must have been a shock to the Pharisees and those around her that Jesus instead engages in this playful dialogue, honoring her, respecting her by carrying on a conversation with her. I'm sure the disciples were kind of in the corner going, not again, not again. But Jesus does that repeatedly. Where you see, Jesus is not bound and doesn't want us to be bound by the prejudices, the short-mindedness, the egos that we have that sometimes enable us to make instant judgments upon people based on the way they look, the race they come from, their background. You know, James really pounds on the early church in his lesson about that. You know, that when we show partiality towards people as Christians, we really dishonor our Lord who showed no partiality. But was open to all. To all. And so Jesus just flipped the whole social order upside down in about 5 minutes. Isn't it delightful? But don't get too proud. That's also us. For don't you and I, if we're truly honest, sometimes we instantly label people based on the way they look, the way they talk, where they're from, all the different characters. It's easy to do as humans. But there's a different perspective that we need to have. And that's where I love the way Jesus tells the story. Because the woman says, even the dogs under the table get to eat the scraps. But you and I. We don't come here because we have a right to demand from God his presence. We don't have a right to demand the meal. We don't have a superiority in life that God should spend time with us. We are here not because of the privilege we have in society, some of us do, but we're here because we're invited by God. We're equal. We're all the dogs under the table, the children, if you will. We're all that way. Whether we're a Syrophoenician woman or a Rockingham County resident, we have no credentials by which we can demand anything out of God, if you really look at it. But God has offered us everything because of his deep love and abiding presence. That's what all these lessons are getting at. They remind us not to be so prideful, not to be so judgmental about ourselves, because we are here not by privilege, but we're here by invitation. Because God invites us into the family. Not unlike our pets. I figured I'd get around to that sooner or later, talking about that. You know, our pets were invited in by us, or they adopted us, like cats do, whatever. We bring them into the family. They give up a certain amount of freedom and their own ability to control life in exchange for living in relationship. That, the gospel tells us, is the good life. Is the fact that we don't live dependent on ourselves. We don't have our salvation dependent on ourselves. We are able to depend on a God who is always faithful, always loving, always including. We're part of the family. Yeah, it means we don't get our own way a lot, and that's probably very true of our faith life as well. We are the dogs under the table. But isn't it great living a dog's life in that sense? We have others that we share this faith and our troubles and our concerns and our joys with. We're not dependent on our own selves ultimately for anything. We're given the freedom to live in community. And that's what all these lessons are really speaking about. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of being living in relationships with God and each other. It's a blessing. Yes, it does cost us something. There is no promise there that we don't give up certain things. We have to give up our own ego, give up our pride and our prejudices that so can embellish our lives with hatred, and be willing to be moved by God to see one another as fellow dogs under the table with you. This is an amazing fact of the story, is that God is open to all people. God is open to all of us, no matter what we may be judged by the society around us, or the communities we travel in. We are all precious and special and equal in the sense that Christ died for us, and God's love and mercy, his meal is extended to us. Again, not because we're worthy, but because we've been invited. This is the great liberation. This is the great joy of living in community, is that we're not solo actors out in the world. We come with a community. We come with a community that supports us, that prays for us, that cares about us. Even if they don't know our names sometimes in church, we pray for each other. And if we're good, and if we hear the message of the gospel and are liberated, we actually do care for each other. We begin to move outside of the boundaries that society may set and expand our vision, begin to get the vision of God, which sees us as beloved family. I don't know about you, but I would like to come back to my dogs if there really was another life. Because they do know that love and nourishment, and they give to me. My cat does too. Kind of a love, but cats can be a little different. That's another story. They still give to us that love and devotion to live in relationship. They come in our lives to be parts of our families, just as we were invited by God to come into his family. So, let us hear these words again. Let us be moved beyond whatever prejudices and prides and whatever else we have to judge one another with, to see each other as people gathered around the table. Martin Luther, last thing we know that he ever wrote, he wrote this the night he died, right before he went to bed and never woke up again, apparently. He wrote, "We are almost certainly beggars." And that's true. We have no grounds to stand before God. All we can do is put out our hands, but we can always trust that we'll be invited in, fed and nourished and clothed by God's mercy and grace, and sent out in the world to do the same. So yeah, it might be a dog's life, but it's a great life in relation to God. Amen.
Amen.